Where are those COVID test kits? I'm David Brancaccio. First, the cereal workers' strike at Kellogg's has been settled after workers accepted a new contract offer. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins me now with more.
Yeah, David, workers got across-the-board wage increases and enhanced benefits. Also, future cost-of-living adjustments. That's a big one because of inflation. The union also chipped away at a two-tiered wage system, which was a key point of contention. The system had workers that had been there a while on one wage and benefits scale and new hires on another, and the workers said that wasn't fair. In fact, they rejected the previous agreement Kellogg reached with their union because they said their concerns over the two-tiered system were not addressed to their satisfaction. This time around, the workers accepted the deal.
What was this? Nearly 3 months with this strike? President Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders had spoken out about it. What has Kellogg's taught us about the bargaining power workers have in this economy?
Well, it suggests they have quite a bit of it. After the workers rejected the last deal, Kellogg said it would begin hiring permanent replacements. That drew a rebuke from President Biden, but he probably needn't have bothered, David, because labor experts doubted Kellogg would be able to effectively replace all the striking workers, and clearly it didn't. The workers got a lot of what they wanted, and maybe everything, as the union contends. And it's not just Kellogg. Last month, we saw striking workers at Deere & Company get a significant pay bump. Same thing at Nabisco, so workers are flexing their bargaining power.
Nova, thank you. We have more details on the half a billion home test kits for COVID that President Biden is now promising will be sent free to households amid the present shortage of testing capacity in parts of the country. We know there will soon be a website where people can register for these, and the freebies should start showing up this coming month. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has more.
Sending free COVID tests to people at home is a big step in the right direction, says Dr. Kavita Patel at the Brookings Institution.
But we need a lot more than 500 million.
For rapid tests to really be useful, she says, people should be able to take them pretty much every day.
Back of the envelope math, we're talking about billions of tests.
But those 500 million tests are just one part of a bigger strategy to increase access to free at-home testing. The administration is also making home tests available for pickup at places like community health centers and requiring insurance companies to reimburse people for tests they buy.
Taken together, that set of changes is a pretty dramatic difference from what we saw just a few months ago.
Until recently, Lindsay Dawson at the Kaiser Family Foundation says the federal government really wasn't investing much up front in home testing.
It actually impacted manufacturers' willingness to produce tests at a large scale for the U.S.
Biden says his administration has invested $3 billion to increase the number of at-home tests. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Now in Omicron market volatility. The Dow has now easily erased what it had lost the day before, with the Dow closing up 560 points, 1.6% yesterday. This morning, stock index futures are mixed, with futures for the Dow up not even a tenth of a percent, and the NASDAQ futures down a tenth percent.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The rapid spread of the Omicron variant is already adding further stress to health facilities. In New York and New Jersey, an urgent care chain called CityMD is temporarily closing 19 locations because staff is apparently spread too thin. Nationally, nearly one in five healthcare workers has quit their job during the pandemic, with the government projecting a shortfall of about 1 million nurses in the coming year. A recent survey by a healthcare staffing firm finds there's one group less likely to quit. It's nurses who are foreign-born. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
Leo Felix Jurado left the Philippines to work as a nurse in the U.S. in the late 1980s.
I took the exam and passed it, and I was here when I was 22 years old.
Because of its colonial history with the U.S., the nursing curriculum in the Philippines is very similar, and the country has been a major source of immigrant nurses since World War II.
Every time there is a U.S. shortage, the U.S. has turned to the Philippines for help.
Jurado, now a professor of nursing in New Jersey, says Filipino nurses often end up taking jobs in high-stress environments that others might refuse.
Obviously, they don't have choices when they're being recruited because they just want to come to America.
That may have contributed to disproportionate risks during the pandemic. Filipinos made up a quarter of COVID deaths among nurses, despite being only 4% of the workforce. A survey of nurses from the Philippines and other countries by AMN Healthcare showed they were more likely to work in emergency and intensive care, and the majority had treated many COVID patients. More than 80% were burnt out, and yet a nearly identical share said they were satisfied with their job, says Sinead Carberry, the head of international recruiting.
We conclude really from the survey that they have a high level of resilience.
Of course, these nurses may have a different calculus for staying in their jobs. Their immigration status sometimes depends on it. Nurses can come to the U.S. on either short-term H-1B visas or by being approved for a green card. Both options are in very limited supply and inadequate to quickly fill shortages, says immigration lawyer Amy Erlbacher-Anderson.
Even if you're lucky enough to be able to get an immigrant visa, you can't get an appointment at a consulate and to start working.
In September, the State Department announced embassies could prioritize visa applications for healthcare workers on a case-by-case basis. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And jerks on planes will now lose access to the faster TSA pre-check lines at airport security. This year, there have been 5,500 official reports of unruly air passengers with more than 1,000 investigations. That's 10 times the investigations we saw in the year before COVID, according to the Wall Street Journal. A lot of these dopes are drunk. If you can't remember the following words from the FAA chief, then maybe a tattoo will help. Quote, if you act out of line, you will wait in line. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.